Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
I have been making the argument that Trump is a heavy lift for the election. But the more Biden speaks, the more Biden fails on the economy. We just take a look at what's going on with the markets today, dropping 500. Because inflation is up. And Biden is out there still saying, oh yeah, I think we're going to have a rate decrease this year from the Fed. That is nutty. It's madness. Madness that he would think this. Well, something else is happening. And it's not that it's unexpected. Like, for example, when people say, if you're black, you have to vote for Joe Biden. Biden said himself, if you don't know if you're going to vote for me or Trump, then you ain't black. He said those words to Charlemagne the God, a radio host out of New York. But of course, that's not the case. Tony Katz today. Great to be with you. Trump was in, I forget what town he's in. He's in Georgia. And Trump is at a Chick-fil-A in Georgia. And he's talking to people, and the people are all there. He's talking to all the employees, and they're talking to him. And this happened with two black women at the Chick-fil-A.
So I don't care what the media tells you, Mr. Trump.
We support you, man.
Okay, 4 p.m. 4 p.m.
Come here, let me give you a...
So you've got this black woman who says, I don't care what the media says about you, Mr. Trump. We support you. And Trump is like, come here and give me a hug.
So I don't care what the media tells you, Mr. Trump. We support you.
We support you, man.
Okay, 4 p.m. We're here 4 p.m.
Come here, let me give you a hug.
So there's Trump getting a hug from a black woman, a young black woman. And then it continues.
Beautiful.
Yeah, can my friend Dom get one too? Yes. This is, she's fundraising.
Come on in. Come on in.
Yeah,
come on in.
Yes.
We're going to get rid of Biden.
Yeah.
The worst president in the history of the United States, and he's horrible to the black community. Like it or not, he treats the black community bad. And check out his record.
Here's Trump saying that Biden is terrible to the black community. And what are these black women saying? He's been like that since he's a senator. Talking about Biden. These the two different videos. This is going to make Democrats go crazy. They're going to lose their minds. And then, of course, they're going to ask the key question, why are these black women such traitors to their... And then they won't know what to say. They'll just lose that. Joy Reid, just picture it. I mean, I won't watch it, but just picture it. There is this absolute belief that somehow you cannot be black if you're not voting, if you're voting for Republicans. Now, I'm going to tie this into something. I'll get into it tomorrow about how this relates to a conversation about Jews in Israel. And it, because it oddly does. It really does. But I'll get to that tomorrow. But man, these two videos, you better believe the Democratic Party is going to be all over this, asking themselves, wait a second, can Trump really get the black vote? And the answer is, maybe. This is Tony Katz today. Whatever you do not look at your 401k. Do not, you know what? Don't even look at the markets. Because less than 3 hours after the markets opened, you saw the Dow down 500 points. And you're like, what in the world just happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Everything we said is real. And what is it that we said? We said that inflation has not gone away. We said that no matter what it is that people are screaming about rate cuts, there won't be any. And today, the Consumer Price Index came out, and it just punches you in the face. Now, maybe I'm reading it wrong. Maybe there's actually some good news, but yeah, nah. Tony Katz today. Guys, good to be with you. Dr. Matt Will joins us. He is an economist there at the University of Indianapolis. Dr. Matt Will, W-I-L-L, Dr. Matt Will on X there if you want to follow him. Let's talk about these numbers, Dr. Will. When you see the Consumer Price Index going up 3.5% in March. Now, the expectation was 3.4%, but whether you're talking about the total CPI or the core CPI, you are higher, and some costs higher by a lot. I read this report, and I agree with the markets. This is all garbage, and inflation is here to stay. What do you see?
Well, I see two things. One is people shouldn't listen to any other radio show but this one, because we've been talking about this for weeks and for months. And it's as if nobody's listening to what we're saying. And forget the 3.5 number. Let's do the typical Matt Will approach. 0.4 in March times 12. That's 4.8%. This is crazy. It's turned the curve. It's going back up. But I don't want to dig into the details of this because the details don't matter. What matters is what Jamie Dimon said yesterday. This is a Democrat. He's the most successful leader of bank in the world, and he made some pretty dramatic statements, and that's the stuff we need to focus on. The report is bad, but why is it bad is more important.
So we'll get into the why it's bad, and I know that you do that times 12 there, you annualize it, but when you do that, when you do your math, are you making it seem worse than it really is? And let me just give you the two examples if I can. If you take a look at all items includes food and energy. It's at an unadjusted 12 months at 3.5. If you take all items less food and energy, because sometimes they say food and energy is volatile. So when the food and energy are removed, they refer to that as the core CPI. That's 3.8. Both of those numbers are lower than your 4.8. Which number really is more accurate?
Let me tell you why mine's more accurate. Let's look at the monthly number from October. This will be very easy. The monthly number in October, 0.1. Next month, 0.2. Next month, 0.2. Next month, 0.3. 0.4, 0.4. You don't have to be a genius to know it's going up. So these old low numbers from 5 months ago should be tossed aside. That has nothing to do with today. Today, we've had 2 months in a row of 4.8% annualized. 5 months ago, we had annualized of 1.2. I think you got to look at today. I don't care what happened 5 months ago.
But the argument should be, when we talked about this in February, there was a little bit of a downtick. There was a little bit of a slide downward. And you said this could be the start of something. And certainly last month, we saw, okay, maybe not. But this puts an end to it. I think this is why the market is reacting the way it is. Because just the other day, there was talk that, you know what, is the Fed really going to lower interest rates? Maybe they'll do something at the end of the year. Exactly what we've said, by the way. But it doesn't look like it. I think this puts the nail in the coffin. Anybody who was expecting three rate cuts in 2024, Dr. Matt Will, is out of their minds. True?
I think that's completely true. I don't think that's at all on the table at the moment. But I'm going to insist, Tony, that we switch gears and we talk about this deficit. Jamie Dimon, this left-wing Democrat, who is, of course, the leader of the biggest bank in the world, he said in his letter yesterday, he said the $34 trillion national debt was pushing the U.S. off a cliff. This is a guy who's a Democrat who's saying that Biden is spending too much money. This is big news. I didn't see it in the mainstream media anywhere. I only saw it on all the business channels and in the business press. It was headlines, but nowhere else.
talking to Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis. I'll get into that. And I'm more than happy to discuss where some of these market leaders go and where people are going to go, because the market itself has come back in a nice way until today and has done some very, very good work for people. One of the numbers that does need to be addressed is this number on shelter. If you take a look at the shelter number, meaning housing, right? Shelter is housing. The unadjusted 12 months is 5.7. Is that telling me that the price for a house is more? Or does that tell me that the people who want to build houses are going to stop for a while?
It tells you both. It tells you both. Now, I'm not going to say people are going to stop building homes because there's a demand for shelter. We have more people in the United States, which is a whole different topic. And so we need more units of housing. But the cost of housing has been consistently high. I'll you know, you always say I make it look worse. The 0.4 in March, multiply that by 12, it's 4.8. So the shelter is 4.8. The CPI is 4.8. The core is 4.8. That's all too high. But it's been very stable in shelter. That's been, you can look back in the last 5-6 months. It's been solidly high. Shelter is costing more because the demand is high. That's the reason. Demand for shelter is high.
When we discuss inflation, we give it a definition. You've said it very, very concisely. It's too much cash and not enough stuff. In the end, that's what inflation is. Too much cash in the system and not enough goods to purchase with that cash. So therefore, the price of that goods goes up. You have to use more cash to get it. So your cash is worth less. It has less value per dollar. But that cash in the system comes from, very often, government spending. And we certainly saw during COVID government spending. The question I think many people have is, you have Republicans in charge of the House. We haven't had really that much going on, except, of course, some legislation to keep the government going. Are you telling me that this is all COVID-era spending that's coming back to haunt? Or did something else take place that we're not paying attention to?
No, it's COVID spending is still there and it's still causing a problem. But this Republican administration, this in the Congress, they have not cut spending like they promised. Speaker Johnson said he would control spending, yet they've had continuing resolution after continuing resolution. They have not controlled spending. This president is adding over $1 trillion to the deficit this year alone. That's insane amount of money that is being added to our national debt. And Jamie Dimon said it. He said, in times of economic growth like we have now, you should not be running deficits. And this is the guy who supports Biden, who's saying in a very subtle way, you're spending too much money. And of course, Jerome Powell's been saying the same thing. You're spending too much money. And of course, nobody's reporting what they're saying. And the White House is not listening. And the Republicans are ineffective in changing it.
Well, Republicans being ineffective is, you know, that's kind of their calling card. Talking to Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis, we also see that the 10-year Treasury note is at 4.5, a major jump today, and over 4.5, I should say. You're talking about basically a 300 basis point spread or 3% between that and where the 30-year fixed is, which is going to put the 30-year fixed well over 7.5. It's going to work its way back up in the next few days, and that's going to mean a further slowdown on housing. The whole housing market, just to take a bit of a side tangent here, it's been kind of amazing that there's this push for multi-use kind of places. There's this push for townhouses and condos. We see apartments being built in lots of different places. Certainly people are still building houses, but the prices nationwide have not come down. They continue to rise. Is this to you more than just a mortgage conversation?
Oh, it's much more. It goes back to what you said earlier about shelter. The shortage of shelter is causing prices to go up. The Biden created inflation is causing prices to go up. The rate of mortgages, you just said it, 7.5% yesterday, before the news today. When I look at the end of day report today, you might be hitting close to 8. Can you imagine taking out a mortgage today at 8% and the house price is higher? How can anybody in this White House say it's a good economy when you're paying 8% for a mortgage and you're paying, you know, 5.7% more for a house? And let's not get into the closing costs that have gone through the roof recently.
Let me move you over to a new topic here. Within this entire economic insanity, you saw that the shares of Alibaba went higher because all of a sudden there's Jack Ma. So this is a Chinese company, basically the Chinese Amazon. Jack Ma, M-A is his last name. He was the guy in charge. You saw him everywhere. Then he was a little critical of a little bit of a Chinese policy. And the next thing you know, he was gone. He was disappeared, clearly by the Chinese government. All of a sudden, he is back. Here he is. Good as new. The market look at this and say, okay, we don't care that you're praising China. We think this is weird. And does it affect how people look at Chinese companies when they see this clear maneuver from China of making people disappear and then reappearing with the right attitude?
The market's going to say, let's wait and see. Because the Alibaba stock price has fluctuated around $74 for the last few months, up and down, up and down. Today it's up a little bit. It's not really a big reaction. We're going to wait and see. Because Jack Ma, this guy is, you know, he's like the Jeff Bezos, the Elon Musk of China. And you're right, when he was sent off to the concentration camp to be reeducated, now he came back, is he going to come back with a party line, or is he going to be the entrepreneur of old? And let me tell you why. I think I know why he's back. I think the Chinese economy, which we know is in a recession, is desperate not to lose all this business to India, and I think they need him. And they're saying, crap, you did the best job in the world of growing a company in our country. Help, we need you. I think that's what's really happening here.
You bring up India. That's funny. There is a story about Apple has moved $14 billion worth of production from China to India for the iPhone. To me, this is how you starve China. This is how you do damage to the Communist Chinese Party internally. $14 billion is a real number, and Lord knows that Apple has the ability to double that number outside of China, which puts more pressure on the CCP because creating jobs is part of supposedly what they do, and they ain't doing it.
Well, you're gonna get a nasty email from Tim Cook because Apple's been trying to do this in a very subtle, quiet way. Most of their technology is produced in what's called Ningbo, China, which is south of Shanghai. They've got millions of people. I'm not exaggerating. Millions of people producing Apple products. You can't do that in the United States. So where do? India. India has the population. They have the workforce, and they're better educated than the workforce that's in China. They're slowly moving out very quietly. And, of course, you had to announce to the world that they're doing it. So let's see what happens to Tim Cook.
Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis. The consumer price index, going back to it, gets followed by the producer price index. What it costs the manufacturer to actually make the good that we are purchasing. When you see this CPI, when you see, as you call it, you take a number in March up 0.4, you multiply it by 12, and you say it's up 4.8%, and proving that inflation has gone nowhere, it's actually going up. What does that tell you, and what other factors should we be looking at as we get ready for the producer price index number that'll be coming out soon?
I think you just need to look at it and see where it is. Last month, it was 0.6. It's higher than the inflation rate. How can you have an economy where the people selling the stuff are paying more than the people buying it? Eventually, that cost gets passed along, and we're seeing it in today's CPI. So cross your fingers and see what happens to the PPI when it comes out. I'm nervous about that.
Dr. Matt Will, economist at the University of Indianapolis, Dr. Matt Will on X. Dr. Matt Will on X, follow him there. I appreciate you taking the time. More is coming up. I'm Tony Katz. if you're trying to silence somebody on the political right, everything is good. It's all fair game. As a matter of fact, there's nothing to say. Well, if you're on the political left. And you say to me, Tony, we've heard this conversation before. Yes, but not like this. You haven't heard it until you've heard Jonathan Chait writing in New York Magazine, the left-wing authoritarian shutting down the Democratic Party. An article saying how wrong it is when the left does it to the left. As a matter of fact, he states so. Liberals would be would justifiably freak out if the right was doing this to Biden. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. Find everything I do over at TonyKatz.com. Chait is a writer and a so-called pundit, and I'm not a fan. But it's fascinating. Fascinating to see this story. Imagine a world, he writes, in which Congressman Jamie Raskin attempts to deliver a speech on democracy, autocracy, and the threat to reason in the 21st century is unable to deliver his remarks because Trump supporters drown him out. And authorities justify the disruption as an exercise in democracy. Well, we know that people on the political right get shut down all the time. All the time. And there is nothing from the political left that says, hey, cut this out. Hey, you don't understand what free speech is. Hey, free speech exists for the speech that you hate, not that you love, and the people that you hate, not that you love. Hey, college students, stop doing this. Hey, Marxist professors, stop teaching that this is somehow a value. Hey, Marxist professors, stop giving kids better grades because they engage in disruption. Years ago, I was at a speech given by Ann Coulter on the campus of University of South Florida in Tampa. And at some point certain in the speech, the students got up and walked out, or a group of them, and they were stomping their feet to disrupt. And yes, their professor was with them. What a bunch of scumbags. I wouldn't hire a single one of them. It's not that I knew who every one of them were. I wouldn't hire a single one of those absolute losers. If you're disrupting people from speaking, you're a loser. You're not smart. You're not standing up for something. You're a lowlife. And most probably you were raised wrong. That's a really rough thing to say, because sometimes parents try their best and yet the kid turns out to be a moron. And it's hard to blame the parent. And I should stick with personal responsibility. So forget I said anything about your parents. You're terrible. You're not smart. You're not good. You're a bad person. Telling other people they can't speak, shouting them down, threats of violence, whatever the case may be, bad people. We should say so. This is one of the many reasons I have, over the last week, been discussing the idea that these kinds of moments need to be responded to with force. Now, I don't make the claim that one needs to get physical. I do make the claim that these people, these terrible, awful, disgusting people, these low people who don't believe in the fundamentals that make America America or make humans human, they don't believe in nature and nature's law because they don't believe in it for you. These people cannot be allowed to simply move about and engage the ways they do without response, so they know that they are wrong. A society that tolerates this is a society that is destined to fail. It cannot exist. The society must stand up and say no. But it's fascinating that here is Jonathan Chait discussing how the left treats the left. And you ask yourself, wait a second, why is the left treating the left this way? Well, it's very simple. You fed Seymour. Because of the eclipse, a lot of people were talking about Little Shop of Horrors. And Little Shop of Horrors is, you know, you got this plant that needs to be fed, and it needs to be fed blood, and it needs more and more and more. Well, this is what you did to these college students. You started feeding them this Marxism. You started feeding them this madness. You started feeding them that, look how good it feels to stand up for freedom.
Missy Mao, feed me all night long. Cause if you feed me, see Mao, I can grow up big and strong.
This is exactly what happened. You told these kids that they were standing up. You told these kids that this was the only way to be a good and decent person. The only way to be a good and decent person was to engage in all of this madness, was to stop these people from speaking. You heard Congresswoman Maxine Waters. You see one of these Trump members, cabinet members, you form a crowd and you surround them. You push back on them. You tell them they're not welcome. Well, if the methodology makes you feel good, then the methodology would make you feel good at all times. Right? That's what would happen. If the methodology makes you feel good, then it always makes you feel good.
Feed me, see Mo. Feed me all night long.
So these people that you have taught to be intolerant. Remember, leftism is not about tolerance. It's intolerant. It's not about diversity. It's about a single-minded thought. It's not about being inclusive. It's about excluding anybody who does not agree with you and working to destroy them. If you teach them that they have to do this in order to be good, to be decent, you have to engage in protests. If you're not protesting something, how does anybody know that you care? You have to do this virtue signaling, all these ways of thinking about it. Well, then this has to be the way it is. And if this has to be the way it is, then it doesn't matter who this is against or about. It doesn't matter how one cannibalizes the system. It doesn't matter. Of course they turn on themselves. Of course they eat their own. But listen to how they do it. Oh, they're protesting Joe Biden because he won't put a stop to what Israel is doing to Gaza. Oh, the poor Gazans. They never mention Hamas being a murderous regime of terrorists. They forget that part willfully. As Gad Saad explained, it's the amnesia of causality. What they really won't admit is that they don't care about that part. They're fine with Hamas. They don't even think about what Hamas is, because the only thing they think about is Israel is white. And you're like, whoa, wait, what? Well, if you view everything under oppressed and oppressor, which is nothing more than a takeoff of Barack Obama talking about the 99% and the 1%, which is nothing more than a takeoff of Karl Marx talking about the proletariat and the bourgeoisie, well, it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing. Israel is the oppressor and therefore white because the oppressor is always white. Look at how they view it in the United States. This is how progressives do things. This is how these awful, terrible, low-minded people do things. This is how hateful, rotten, despicable people do things. Listen to how they discuss it in the world of, for example, DEI. White is guilty and there is no way to get rid of the guilt. You will always be guilty, always, always, always. Well, what did I do? Well, you didn't do anything, actually. How do I know that? Well, because you're 7 years old. Yet somehow, Robin DiAngelo and a host of others like Ibram Kendi have decided you're guilty. Man, those people are weird. Right? The 7-year-old white kid from Pick a City is guilty? If you believe that, the people who believe that, they're freaks. Again, I talk about the pushback. But you teach these people that everything is oppressed and oppressor. You teach these people they have to stand up against this, that, and the other. Well, they're going to not pay attention to, I don't know, politics. Not pay attention to nuance. Not pay attention to a whole host of things. They are going to go on the attack. And they are not going to stop attacking. And if the victim of the attack, if you will, is somebody on the political left not being able to speak, okay, so be it. That's just the way it goes. Jonathan Chait is now stunned and now shocked. He cannot believe his very eyes, his very ears. You built the monster, and the monster, like Seymour, has to feed. Well, a little bit more about that monster. This, you know, I have been working very hard to actually share less from the MSNBCs, CNNs of the world, because it doesn't help. As a matter of fact, I think it infuriates it. It gets people disgusted, and I think they turn off their radios, they turn off their TVs, and they just don't want it anymore. We're talking about a nonsense network that has absolutely no interest in rational conversation and rational thought. Here is a great example. This is MSNBC, and I don't give it to you to share the content, although you're going to hear it. This is MSNBC, and this is Ari Melber doing an interview. Here's how it starts.
Michael, have you been in touch with D.A. Bragg's office, and what specifically in evidence or logic do you think is wrong with this case?
This is about Trump. This is about Trump and Alvin Bragg and the hush money case, which I never even understood why it's a case to begin with. Donald Trump paid somebody to be quiet. People pay each other all the time for all sorts of things. That's not a crime. You see, he paid it from this checkbook when he should have paid it from that checkbook, and therefore he has to go to jail. You had to move heaven and earth to make this a felony. So we know what it's about, and we know that Ari Melber, this non-journalist, is talking to a guy named Michael. And the question is, have you been in touch with the DA's office? And what in the evidence or logic do you think is wrong with the case? Listen.
Well, I'm going to decline to answer as to whether I've been in touch with, you know, either the defense or the DA's office. But let me say this in response to the second part of your question. You know, I think the case has a lot of problems. Now, that does not, I don't mean to suggest that means that Trump will not be convicted, because I think he will be convicted. Because number one, he's a criminal defendant, and in our society, I don't believe the criminal defendants generally get a fair shake. In fact, I think that the percentage of convictions demonstrates that the deck is stacked decidedly against all criminal defendants. Number one. Number two, I don't think that he can get a fair trial in New York. And to the people who claim that, in fact, he can get a fair trial in New York with a New York jury, I would ask them, if they were to go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow and find out that the case had been moved to Mississippi or Alabama, would they still think that the trial was going to be fair? And I think if they were being honest, they would answer no. So
now, pay no attention to the content. You might agree with it, you might disagree with it, whatever the case may be. The Michael that Ari Melber of MSNBC is speaking to is Michael Avenatti. That Michael Avenatti, the former lawyer to Stormy Daniels, the guy who tried to blackmail and extort Nike for $25 million, who is in jail. He's calling from prison to be on MSNBC. First, let's be clear. Ari Melber has a TV show and makes more money than I do? That's bullcrap. Secondly, this is not a journalist. This is not anybody with an intellect. You went with the guy from prison. Ronna McDaniel couldn't be on NBC, but Michael Avenatti is welcome back? Well, of course he is. This is the guy who you and CNN and Brian Stelter told us was going to be a presidential candidate. For the love of God. Why in the world do they take a guy in prison and put him on TV? Because they have to feed the beast. It's the same exact mathematics. If he's talking bad about Trump, or is engaged in conversation about Trump, or he's helpful for a conversation saying Trump is guilty, even though in this conversation he's saying, I don't think the guy can get a fair shake, because criminal defendants don't get a fair shake, which is certainly an interesting conversation. You put him on because you hoped he'd say something bad about Trump. Your need to attack this guy is so great, you'll take the prisoners. You'll take the guys who not only were engaged in blackmail, but he kept money from clients of his who are mentally disabled. Mike Lavinati is low. And here's Ari Melber to say, "Oh, fantastic." By the way, it drives me crazy that these guys make more money than me. Makes me sick. If I'm going to give Jonathan Chait over at New York Magazine any credit, it's that he's trying to say, look, if this was Trump people engaged in these kinds of antics, stopping speech, you'd be out of your head. And so you should be bothered by this too. But they're not. They're never bothered by it. They're going to chalk that up to just some small thing, as long as they do the thing that they want, which is go after the enemy that they pick. But just like these people who will, want to boycott and stop anybody from speaking out about anything, MSNBC will bring on anybody as long as they say, hopefully, the right thing attacking Trump. These people are low and dirty and proud of it. And there is no chance that they are going to stop this madness anytime soon. This is Tony Katz Today. Biden making big, bold moves on the border. He is going to limit southern border crossings by the end of the month. It's a scoop, I tell yous, from Axios. I just don't know how it's possible. Tony Katz Today. President Biden did the big interview with Univision and sent a signal that he's going to issue an executive order to limit the number of asylum seekers who can cross the southern border. The question is, how? We were told that the Senate had to pass the nonsense bipartisan legislation in order to give him the ability to do such a thing. His hands were tied. He couldn't do anything. He needed the legislation passed. Oh, those terrible Republicans. Why won't they pass the legislation and do something about the border? You see how the left is lying on this subject. It's important just to be able to see it in their own words. Lying. He never needed this bipartisan anything. He just needed to be willing to do the job. Now he's willing? Must be an election year. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Tomorrow, everyone, take care.